Welcome back to Discourse, the weekly occult and esoteric podcast hosted by myself, Abimon the Great, and Dr. Anna Stone. This week, Dr. Anna Stone inquires into Abimon's personal experience with an ancient form of magic uncommon amongst contemporary practice. This form of magic informed the great Renaissance wizards, and it is known as astrological magic. Breathe in, young magus, and let the work begin. Two, one. All right, welcome back to Discourse. My name is Abimon the Great, and I'm joined, as always, by Dr. Anna Stone.
Hello.
Yeah, this week we're going to be talking about astrological magic. It's something that's really near and dear to my heart, because that's specifically the type of magic that I practice.
It is.
However, I think for occultists, astrological magic is something that occultists are familiar with, but by and large, the majority of the astrology community, it's kind of mysterious and elusive, and there's not a lot of like understanding exactly what it is, because so much of modern astrology is based around natal charts, nativities, and is more measuring a personality than it is performing any magic. It's more of a divination tool, but the divination aspect is a part of astrological magic. However, the magic itself, where you're manifesting something and or making something happen, you know, that a lot of contemporary astrology practitioners don't necessarily understand how that translates. So
really,
yeah.
Interesting, because I think that when you hear that term,
yeah,
you might think about just astrology, like horoscopes or something.
Yeah.
But anyone that practices any kind of magic is using it.
Yes.
Even if they're not aware of it.
Yes.
If they're not aware that that's exactly what they're doing, per se, you know, like what that's called. But whenever we base things off the moon phase, right, or the time of day, etc., like that stuff's all part of astrological magic, is it not?
Yeah, so astrological magic is heavily encoded into basically all magical practice, especially today. So no matter what school of magic you come from or what brand of magic you practice, you do have some type of astrological magic to it. But what makes an astrological magician, specifically an astrological magician, those ones are it's a lot more complex. It more has to do with elections, and something called electional astrology that, is kind of out of vogue and has been out of vogue since for like 1500 years.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. So electional astrology is basically the type of astrology that, I guess, you know, your Bronze Age, conqueror would have used with when they contacted an astrologer when they were looking for the right time to attack the enemy or to sign a political treaty or something. They would get a hold of an astrologer that they trusted, and the astrologer would look at the stars and would give them a time and a day and say, this is the perfect time. The stars say that you should attack then, or you should make the deal then, or you should marry then.
Yeah, right? It's a Tuesday for war, right? Because Mars.
Yeah. So it's a little more complex than that. And it's more the planets aligning.
Right.
So I guess in the Renaissance is when it started turning into, well, there's kind of like an easier way to do it where you choose just the right day and the right hour of the day. And this is largely how I think Solomonic magic works. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I've always known about the days that you're supposed to do certain things.
Yeah.
Or the moon phases in which, like, you're not supposed to try to bring something to you during a waning moon, right?
Yeah.
It's going away. So without knowing it, I've been using it for a very long time also, because actually it wasn't until I met you that I really even started to look into that specifically, that branch, you know? just hearing what you're doing.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily the most popular brand of magic to practice. It's pretty intimidating if you try to get into it. However, I feel like it's been picking up steam lately. And I think it's largely because of the Pikatrix is kind of seeing a revitalization. It has been for the past, I would say, 5 years. People are more interested in it. And there are some great astrological magicians that are around today that are really carrying the torch. And they're the ones that I look to for inspiration. I would say Christopher Warnock is probably my favorite modern astrological magician, but you've been getting me a lot of Benjamin Dyke books.
Yeah.
And he's an academic. He's a PhD. But he's one of those
prolific writer.
Yeah. Prolific writer. I cannot believe the amount of academic work this guy outputs. It's mind boggling.
How do you have time?
Exactly. I don't, like, it is so well researched and, like, it is, you know, PhD standard stuff. And he's got like 10 books that are like this thick.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's insane.
I'm asking, in case he sees this, how do you do it?
How do you do it? Magic?
I'm a professor too.
Yeah.
And I, what? I don't have the time for that. That's amazing. So would you say that astrological magic is a blend of astrology and ceremonial magic?
I don't think so. I think astrological magic is a lot more pure and ancient. I think ceremonial magic is specifically European innovation. However, it does have its roots in Constantinople. I think that's when you first, the earliest you can see ceremonial magic coming together, and that would be Solomonic magic, is within Constantinople around, I want to say the 5th century AD or whatever. However, I would say that astrological magic is probably the closest you can get to ancient magic, and it does flirt with ceremonial magic. Ceremonial magic's informed by it. So astrological magic is very much, it is a farmer's magic, an ancient farmer's magic.
So like the Babylonians, right? That's where... I mean, that's where it's said that the origins are, right? Because they were engaging in celestial observations and then they were also using planetary correspondences. So, and they also came up with the concept of omens, right? So that's hella old. Omens and as messages from the gods. So, you know, when... I guess lightning struck a tree. I guess they would be like, that's an omen. The gods are mad. But then in the Hellenistic period, I guess that's when horoscopes became a thing.
Yeah.
Right. So they were doing that for a long time.
Yeah. When natal astrology or horoscopes, the ones where you're predicting a personality, when that started becoming a thing, it wasn't really the most popular branch of astrology. Electional astrology and orary astrology were the ones that were more popular. And orary astrology is where you basically, it's divination tool. You ask a question and then you get the answer from the stars.
I have done this and it was accurate.
Yeah.
I was pleased.
I feel like that's a lot of effort when you just use the tarot, but
but maybe it wasn't safe, you know, maybe when it's not, I don't know.
Casting charts is, you get good at it and you can get intuitive of it, but casting a chart is it takes a few hours. You got to look at the computer
program. Yeah. It's like Astrograph or AstroC or AstroDeans. I don't know.
Yeah.
One of those. But I mean, so when it comes to that though, because that's what most people are familiar with is in natal charts, right? Birth charts. Do you find that, just curious, do you find those to be accurate?
I'm not too sure. I think when you're talking about predictive life events, I think they're pretty accurate.
Yeah.
However, the thing where it's almost personality scale or oh, you're measuring yeah. somebody's personality, almost like MBTI.
Like a Myers-Briggs.
Yeah. I think that it's that's gone pretty far off the mark, and it operates off of the same kind of principles that, you know, like cold reading does,
yeah.
to where it's no, like, yeah. you say something
yeah.
like anybody can identify with it. I don't put too much weight into it. It gets
creepy.
Yeah. It can get a little creepy, but
not predictive. Like it's not, yeah. it's not something that like you can, that anyway, that I can see that I can predict something in the future, but I can definitely see things that happened already.
I think that with natal astrology, you can definitely see like, stuff like people's lifespans, if they're going to get sick, that kind of thing. But I don't
want to know that.
Like the whole,
I don't want to know what.
Yeah. I feel like it's more
how do you tell that?
It depends on that, the houses and the aspects, right?
Okay. So, yeah.
Like for example, you know, if you've got a bad opposition, like in the 10th house or something, you know, that's not.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't
it's
know.
Not good.
Probably have that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting. I digress. I get weirded out because I've had mine done so many times and it's so complicated. The other thing is with astrology in general, people scoff at it,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it's a real serious work. Like it's really difficult because I mean, I've read tarot forever.
Mm-hmm.
I've done all the other kinds of divination and stuff for decades. Astrology is one I cannot wrap my head around. There's too much to deal with.
Yeah.
There's too much like conjunct, square, trine. I don't know what any of that shit means.
It's very, if you try to look at it all at once, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
And it's better to just like take little bites at a time. So I guess with astrology, where I got started was when I was a teenager, and I actually didn't really believe in it. I just used it to pick up
girls.
On girls at parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they love to talk about astrology.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and that was when I dipped my toes in. So it's like, yeah, you like learn the sun signs and then all of a sudden.
Necessity, huh?
Yeah.
Necessity.
Yeah. For a teenage boy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. You got that motivation, you know?
Yeah.
However you get it.
Yeah. But you take it in bites, right? So it's like first you learn the planets and then you'll learn the houses and the zodiac. And then all of a sudden you start getting into the aspects. And it just compounds. But it's very much like the tarot. And the thing is, I feel like if you know one comprehensive table of correspondences, it's easier to pick up on the other.
Yeah.
I feel like, whereas tarot would be the piano of, you know, occult instruments.
Yeah.
I think astrology would be kind of like, maybe the guitar or something.
Violin.
Yeah. It's like, it's a very translatable skill to yeah. where.
No, I've definitely, it makes more sense now, but when I was yeah. younger and tried, I was like, never mind.
Yeah.
You know, I was just too. I didn't understand. There was a lot I didn't understand just in life, I think, in general,
uh-huh.
that I do now.
I think that, like, even if you don't know all of astrology, like, let's say you just know the zodiac signs and mm-hmm. the seven classical planets, you can still do stuff with that. You can still get pretty, like, oh, wow, this works, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the depth of how it works that, like, the more you understand about astrology, the deeper you can get with it, right?
Yeah.
But even if, like, let's say you don't know astrology and you're intimidated by it and want to start learning, just start right now. Just start casting charts for your friends and just use the zodiac signs and the seven classical planets, and you'll still be able to pull something out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. It's just when it comes into aspects, like, that's a lot.
There's only a handful of them, and they kind of make sense, right?
Yeah,
yeah, the aspects mainly deal with, like, what elements are, like, so if you have an opposition, those are two opposing elements.
Right.
And then if you have a square, those ones are, you know, kind of like there's a tension between them. But if you have a trine, that's kind of like a third, like if you're playing a chord, right? Okay. It's like a harmony, right. Harmonizes right there. And then a conjunction is they're just kind of like on top of each other. And so they're amplifying each other.
Oh, that's what that means?
Yeah. Okay. So there's, square's bad, conjunction, or square's bad, opposition bad, trine, sextile, conjunction, good. Good,
okay.
For the most part, you know, yeah. There's a lot more to it, but yeah. If you just follow those ones, yeah.
There's always more. If you
start with those, you'll start to understand it. You start working that way. But yeah, so I guess, but to go back to what you were saying about the Babylonians, everybody kind of looks and points at Mesopotamia and the Babylonians mm-hmm. as the progenitors of this. However, the Indians too, they show up.
Yeah.
A lot, even in medieval sources, they'll talk about how the Indians also have this status of kind of progenitors of this occult art or this occult science. But if you really think about it, it makes sense as to why the Babylonians or the Mesopotamians would be the progenitors of this, because they were so involved in agriculture. We're taught that they were the ones that kind of like invented agriculture. Right? Yeah. And so obviously they're going to be trying to understand, they're going to try to predict like these events using, you know, the weather, the astrological weather.
Makes sense.
So that they can figure out their crops.
Yeah. And they didn't do daylight savings time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyways, stupid bullshit. Yeah. Like they figured it out without that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but so when we're talking about the kind of magic that you mainly practice.
Yes.
This is based on planetary influences?
Yeah, it's electional. So astrological magic, and this is why I love Christopher Warnock, because Christopher Warnock, he has this really great website. It's called, I think it's Renaissance Astrology, and there he puts up all his stuff, but he also translated.
That's his website?
Yes. Oh, and so he
okay, that makes sense. All right.
He also translated the Picatrix, probably the most widely used form of the Picatrix in modern times.
Right.
However, the Danitrell edition, you know, it's coming up, I think.
Yeah.
So
you're excited for that?
No, I have it. I love it. But it just,
it's coming out.
It's very recent.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
It was published very recently.
Yeah.
So the people, the astrological magicians, you know, that are operating right now, at least in the Commonwealth countries, are usually working out of the Christopher Warnock, translation. However, it's electional. So it's like you plan your ritual around, the stars aligning, right?
Right. That's why you wait so long to do this.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm like, I cannot do that. Yeah. I cannot. But aren't there specific characteristics of like each planet that, so if you wanted to do something that had to do with like expansion or abundance, you would want to work
with Jupiter.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, basically within astrological magic, astrological magicians do not use, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. Maybe some are out there that do, but as far as I'm aware within the astrological magic community, they mainly work out of medieval and Renaissance sources. And so they only use the classical planets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know your classical planets, you know, Sun, Moon, Mars, Venus, Saturn, Jupiter, Mercury. If you know those planets and what they represent, then you can kind of select what kind of spell or rite you're going to do. However, there are, you also, like, this is where astrological magic gets really complex. So, for example, like, if Mars is in the second phase of Capricorn,
the hell does that mean?
Yeah. So,
sorry.
Capricorn, every zodiac sign is 30 degrees of 360 degrees, right?
Right.
So every 30 degrees is divided up by 10 into 3. Oh, so they have 1, okay. 2, 3 faces. Those are called decans,
right? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, decans are really... Yeah. So, decans are really important in Thelema, Thelemic magic. However, like, when you're doing astrological magic, depending on how those planets are interacting, sometimes they don't manifest the way that you think that they're going to, right?
Oh, surprise.
So... Whereas we think of Mars as like a conqueror and a destroyer and a victor and that kind of thing. If he's in the second phase of Capricorn and you decide to do a spell on that, that spell could be for anything impossible, right?
Okay.
So impossible things to happen. So that all of a sudden Mars is kind of going outside of his territory just because of where he's placed in the sky, right?
Interesting.
And so this can get really complex when you're digging through astrological magic spells from the medieval era. It can get into, you know, where the north node is supposed to be located, the ascendant's supposed to be located, Jupiter is supposed to be facing Venus, that, like, you'll start getting 4 or 5 different aspects. And so then all of a sudden these spells get really ridiculously hard to do, because they have to be at the exact right time.
So, like, in 20 years from now.
Yeah, exactly. The planets have to align. So when I'm when I want to do a spell, I have to sit down and I have to cast charts.
Yeah.
And I have to figure out the exact time that these planets are going to align. And I have to keep casting charts until I find the right time. And this is kind
so
of
much work.
It is a lot of work. But what I find, there is this kind of divine confluence that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
To where if I open up like one of my tomes hunting for a spell,
mm-hmm.
right? The timing, I'm going to find the spell and then I'm going to go and I'm going to be casting the charts and I'm going to find that the perfect night is pretty soon. And I kind of take that as license as,
oh, definitely.
I should be doing, yeah, it's like I was drawn to do this. I'm supposed to be doing this.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, because the likeliness of that happening is probably pretty rare or so slim. And like, yeah, it would probably be, you know, it could be 100 years from now. Who knows? Like, who knows when the next time that shit's all going to line up, whatever. So that I would definitely take that as a sign that I would take that as a sign that it's your blessing to proceed.
Yeah, to proceed. Mm-hmm. Exactly. 100%.
Right. That's how I would look at it.
Yeah.
Personally.
I always take that as free license. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's been happening a lot lately, actually. But so, I mean, electional, when you say it's electional, what does that mean?
It's so you're electing a time to do something. Oh. So where an electional astrologer will tell a king the perfect time to attack the enemy, a magician using electional astrology will tell himself the perfect time to do the ritual.
Okay. Right?
So you're just...
The time you elect to do the ritual.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it. Okay.
And it's very out of vogue a lot.
I mean, yeah, I can see why.
The only people that do it are magicians, and even then few and far between,
because they don't want to wait.
Yeah,
but then there's also planetary hours, right?
Yes. So I guess once you start getting away from astrological magic, and this is very like the Arabs during the caliphate, they're the ones that kind of like pieced all of this together from the Indians, the Babylonian sources, the Greek sources, and they kind of like made it into a functional system, right?
Nice.
So it was scattered and people did it. However, they're the ones that like really fine-tuned it. And so that style of astrological magic, you can definitely look at the Arabs as like they're the big influencers on that. Then there's the ceremonial part, the ceremonial style of astrological magic, where spirits are tied to certain planets. Angels are tied to certain planets.
Okay.
And then each planet has an hour on a day. And in that, you're only, I mean, you have 1 week, right? So let's say it's not the right day or the right hour. The maximum time you're waiting to conjure that spirit is a week, right?
Okay.
And so this is, Agrippa's really big into this. In his system of astrological magic, you're dealing with the, two different parts of the planet, its spirit and its intelligence. Right. And the way that it's thought is the spirit is like kind of a bulldozer, and the intelligence is the driver of the bulldozer. So you want to kind of like summon them both. If you summon just the spirit, you're just letting a bulldozer run amok.
Okay. Yeah. That's the one with the sigil. Which one has the sigil and which one has the seal?
The intelligence has the sigil.
Okay.
Yeah. So those ones are going to be on the, that's where you're going to start seeing like the planetary hours and the planetary days. You also see it in Solomonic magic too. So the demons all have, you know, their planetary hour and planetary day. The angels all have a planetary hour and planetary day. And this is a very European thing, European ceremonial magic. And so that's the kind of astrological magic that you see most magicians using if they're grimoire magicians, conjurers, that kind of thing. Okay. So
interesting. So see, Warnock, Christopher Warnock also has the Mansions of the Moon. You read that?
No, I haven't read that one. No.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. We'll see. I would love to talk to that man.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Well, you said he's an academic, right? So
Christopher Warnock?
Yeah. No, that's Dex.
Yeah. He's a astrological magician. Yeah. He might have some degrees, I'm not sure, but
I was confusing the two, sorry.
He's known mostly for being an astrological magician and the one that's carrying the torch, right? He makes sure that these practices are still practiced today, you know, as authentically as they can be. Benjamin Dykes does the same thing. He's one of those very rare academics that has no problem saying like, yes, I'm an astrologer.
I love that.
Yeah. That's what I really like about Benjamin Dykes.
Yeah. I got it. Where is he from?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
I gotta look into that.
He's great. He's great because he's totally an academic, but then he's just like, I'm an astrologer.
Like, that's great. Like professor and also a witch.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't care. It's like, what are you going to do about it?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I'm like, I don't care. I mean, and everyone at my work knows, like they all do. They're like, what are you studying now, Anna? Yeah. What are you looking into now? And I'm like, oh, you know, how magic is real in the labs. We can prove it.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, do some research, guys. Colleagues,
look it up.
Yeah, like I don't care. I used to care and I don't care anymore. It's so nice, so liberating and free. But do you think that the sign that you're born under actually has any kind of effect on your life? Actually?
Yeah, so I mean they all do. There's like it does have an effect, right? And I mean, figuring out the theory of why it has an effect is something that magicians and occultists have been trying to do for a very, very long time.
Why it has an effect?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it because maybe you're told what it does and then, or what it's supposed to be, and then you follow suit, or that other people treat you as such because they expect that from you because based on your sign? Could that be part of it?
Maybe.
I mean, because like as a Leo. Right. What do you think people think of when they learn that about me? They think I'm going to be egotistical and an attention whore and very out loud and obnoxious. And I'm not. I mean, I can be, but not like I would rather not be in the spotlight and I'd rather be just doing my own thing. I'm kind of an introvert.
Yeah.
But I am an introvert. I don't really like a lot of people, but, yeah, people scare me, but I guess I maybe because that I know that I therefore I'm like, oh, I have to be outgoing, you know, is that like, I think it might be a little psychological, but before that, before that was a thing, these signs have been around forever.
Yeah.
So what do you think it actually does to somebody like to be born under a certain sign?
Well, so I subscribe to Al-Kindi's theory of the stellar rays. And it's going to sound a little, you know, it's definitely a dated theory for sure. It does not, you cannot reconcile with it. It was science. Whereas when Al-Kindi came out with his theory, it was like, wow, this is science. This is cutting edge science right here. But basically, Al-Kindi believes that there are these invisible rays, or Agrippa believed that they were radiation or something, and they're basically connected and they're influencing, they're pushing and pulling on everything in the universe, right? And that's how we're connected to the stars. And so I definitely think that dependent on, you know, where your soul entered, at what time your soul entered into the material, right?
Yeah.
That's going to have an effect on, I guess, came through that portal, that feminine portal. That's going to have an effect on how you're influenced, right?
Okay. I mean, the time. I mean, so.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's just everything's connected, because everything's pushing and pulling.
Well, yeah, everything's pushing and pulling. So, I mean, like, if you think about how, like, the moon has an effect on, you know, women's cycles and tides and all that kind of stuff, I don't think it's too far-fetched to believe that there are celestial influences out there that can influence, you know, what happens in our lives, what us as humanity are going through. I think the personality part, like where it becomes personality traits, I think that's where it's a lot more malleable, and maybe they don't have as much influence as people like to give credit to.
It's kind of like nature nurture.
Yeah.
So they used to think that nurture mattered more, but it turns out it doesn't. Genetics matter more. But yeah, like, so because most people are born with three different signs, right? They're rising, their sun sign, and then what was the other one?
People like to talk about their sun, moon, and ascendant.
Ascendant. Right. Okay, yeah. But what happens if they're all the same?
Yeah, so that's called a stellium.
I know.
And those you do have a stellium, you have an insane stellium. Stelliums can be either extremely overpowered or extremely like they can throw you off. They can, like, basically, if I see a stellium, like the first thing that goes through my mind is this person's a psychopath.
I have three of them. Like, okay, great. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
So, especially like a Capricorn stellium. I've seen that before, and like that, I was just like, ooh, like that's like a Patrick Bateman levels of.
Well, I have the Leo and then the Virgo.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the other one, but sun, moon, rising is Leo, and then the Venus, Mars, and Jupiter's Virgo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that makes sense to me because I'm a neurotic perfectionist.
Yeah.
And that isn't accounted for by a Leo trait, right?
Yeah.
Definitely Virgo though. And so like when I found that out, I was like, that makes sense.
But yes, totally. So like all your planets are going to be in different signs, and they're going to be in different houses. And that's going to be a snapshot of kind of, you know, what the universe has in store for you. And I think that's really where the natal chart comes in handy. It's more figuring out like what is the life plan for this person?
Yeah.
And then there are spirits that are tied to that, right?
Yeah, so, there are. Okay. Yeah, I don't know those, but I do know one, right?
I gave you his name.
I still remember it. I know it.
Yeah.
right. I still know how to say it. I spell it and say it. I don't know why that stuck with me. That's weird. What about the moon? Like, so, but then what about like when you're, what's the moon phases in when you're born? What is that about?
I think the most important ones, moon phases, are syzygies. So it's either the full moon or the new moon. That's the one that I think has the most impact.
What about the one that's not visible?
What do you mean?
The balsamic moon.
Oh, that.
Where it's not visible.
You're talking about like different types of moons?
Well, like there's full moon, new moon, and then there's the one where it's like not visible in the sky.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah. So I think like what you're looking for is syzygy is where there's like a conjunction or an opposition. And so when the sun and moon are conjunct or opposite of each other, that's the one that has the most like directly opposite. That's the one that has the most influence. So,
okay.
Yeah. That's what you're looking for in a nativity.
Hmm.
Yeah.
a nativity, and that's not the
a natal chart.
Jesus scene, a manger scene, but it is the natal chart. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I just wonder, like, and then if you have, what about synastry?
I'm sorry.
Synastry, you know, like where you compare two charts together?
Oh, I'm
like for business and stuff?
Oh.
Oh.
No.
Yeah. Those are interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a program though on the computer. It's not as fancy as what you do. But the stellar rays, yeah. So this was in the Islamic Golden Age, right?
Yeah. So Al-Kindi, he was a Sufi philosopher, a scientist, and he wrote a short little essay called On the Stellar Rays, or De Re Dis. And that proved to be pretty influential on Europe, on astrologers trying to figure out how astrology necessarily worked. I think Agrippa was kind of a subscriber to Al-Kindi's philosophy in his own, you know, Agrippa way. And I also think that Mesmer might have been a subscriber, because you'll see that Agrippa talks about like almost this like radiation, right?
Yeah.
So Al-Kindi talks about rays. Agrippa talks about like this kind of like stellar radiation. And then Mesmer talks about this animal fluid, right? That, and all these things are just basically trying to say the same thing, that there is this kind of like underlying connection, whether it's a radiation
or humor. Kind of the same thing?
What?
With like the humors that they had, you know, when they were saying that we're filled with these like bile and then like the different fluids. No,
that's not astrology.
No.
Yeah. That's more medicine. Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's like alchemy, right? Like in back before real medicine. But this is the rays are, yeah, I guess it would be solar or celestial radiation that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Or radiant energy, you know, like Tesla. I think that's what they're talking about. Mm. Actually, because saying that the rays carry the qualities and the influences of each of the celestial bodies from which they originate,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it can then now permeate and affect all of the living matter
in its path. Yeah.
Right. And that they interact with material objects based on their inherent qualities, creating a network of sympathy and apathy.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know that. That's interesting. Sympathy or apathy. Okay. But I don't know. Like, so why were you so drawn to it?
I fell into it.
You fell into it.
Yeah,
you just fell into that?
I did. All? Yes.
How?
I honestly don't know.
From wanting to get laid as a kid? No,
I was never too into astrology. Like when I started taking the occult seriously, I was more into ceremonial magic and I guess just ceremonial magic. The astrological magic started happening as I was trying to approach something a little more ancient, I guess. And something that was pure, getting away from the trappings of ceremonial magic. And when I started falling into astrological magic, that's when everything started clicking. That's when everything that I learned in the occult and all my life experiences kind of like culminated into, oh, like the reason that you had these life experiences and the reason that you practiced these different things was to pull this all together. I think most of my magic was Kabbalistic for the majority of my occult career. But falling into astrological magic was when my magic got really powerful.
Yeah. You know? But how long ago was that?
I want to say maybe like 4 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah. So I understood astrology from basic like natal astrology, and then also what we learned in ceremonial magic, as well as, I mean, just study, just being around study. You know, if you're around the occult, you understand the classical planets, right? That's those are some pretty big correspondences that are coded into every magician's table, every tarot deck, right?
Yeah.
But falling into astrological magic, and it was when I fell into the astrological magic, it started with the Pikatrix. That was the first one that I really, really started clicking with me. And at first, the Pikatrix seemed really overwhelming and really confusing because it seems to be a mishmash of a bunch of different stuff that doesn't fit together or doesn't make sense together. But as I kept practicing with the Pikatrix, I started finding, you know, Neoplatonism, Hermeticism, Egyptian magic, all these different schools of magic or branches of magic. They were all coming together in that book. And slowly the book started unlocking for me and started making a little more sense and a little more sense and a little more sense. And I think that there's definitely material that is missing in that book that's intentionally not in that book. Right.
I mean, that's kind of that's what people do, right?
Yeah. Because it was then pulling in my experience from ceremonial magic that really cracked that book open for me. So,
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I know. I feel like it's probably not as popular because it's the period of time that you have to wait. People don't want to wait for things.
I think so. I mean, I've started to learn how to make it into more of an initiation, right? So every time performing that spell, it's like, yes, I'm starting with something that is, I'm trying to get something worldly and mundane out of it, but it is in that period that I'm waiting for it, that I'm learning about why I wanted that thing in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm learning about the energies of spheres. I get tied to the spheres when I perform those Pikatrix spells, because I feel like my mind is tied to whatever's going on with them, right? Whatever that planet is.
Yeah, but I believe that's absolutely happening too, because I've seen it. Like, I've been told. Yeah. I was told. Give me that. Can I have that pen?
Yes.
Something just happened. I need to draw it. Okay. Yeah, 3951. I saw something on you again.
Oh, okay.
It's just FYI. I wrote it down. But then I wanted to... I'm going to just kind of sketch it because I don't want to forget. But again, your face change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. And it's odd that that happens whenever we're talking about certain things.
Oh, okay.
It's the second time now.
Yeah.
And it was really, really, really distinct. So I have an image and I was like, told to draw it. So it's the way the face was painted. But anyways.
Yeah.
So for anyone that doesn't know what I'm talking about, I just saw this overlay image on your face as you're talking about this stuff. So it's very odd. Uh-huh. It's very strange. It's so pronounced. It's like, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to see it. We'll play back. You'll be able to see me looking at you strangely, like, what's going on? But, and I feel like I know why. But this is, so I've heard, like, who was it that said this to me recently? Somebody... He was in like an online forum or something, you know, like on Facebook maybe. So not a cool one, but you know, like about planetary magic was dangerous because it was dangerous because it's powerful and you can use the powers of the planetary spheres to manipulate others or something. And I'm not sure where they're coming from for that. Do you have any idea why they would say that?
Using them to manipulate others?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that astrological magic is probably the most powerful magic I've used for sure.
Really?
Yes. I mean, with Goetia is very immediate and the things happen and it's really easy to tell that the magic is working. However, with the astrological magic, it changes so much around you, you know, and it does it in a slow way. It's like a slow burn.
Okay. Right? Kind of like what Al-Kindi was saying about how it pulls on, like how it actually can impact them and the things around you. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. But how would you use it to manipulate?
I don't know. I definitely, like, I've used it for attraction, obviously, like my lunar.
Is that manipulating?
What?
Attraction.
I don't know, maybe. Sometimes it feels like it.
Why?
I don't know. Sometimes I just feel dirty when I know that I've done something. Sometimes I'm like
dirty.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, yeah. Sometimes I definitely feel like, you know.
Should I be doing this?
Yes, exactly.
Is this power too great for me?
The lunar wheel. Yeah. Seriously.
Really?
Seriously.
Just kidding. But okay.
Well,
that's interesting.
Yeah. But obviously the lunar stuff, that can be really manipulative if you know how to use it. And then with Saturn, when you approach Saturn and you start noticing death around you, it's really, really hard not to think that maybe you had something to do with it, if that makes sense.
Oh, no. I know what you mean. Like, oh, I started with this and now people are dying around me. And like, yes. Did I cause this to occur?
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah,
that's a little bit of a problem question, huh?
Yeah.
Did you? I mean, how do we know? No, I mean, do you? Is that what it is? Or is that just something that you're more noticing because it's brought to your attention?
Exactly. More? I think the difficult thing there is, you know, because you're trying to grapple is like, did I do something? And in order to learn about this sphere, somebody had to die?
Right.
Or is it that, you know, I am in the sphere at the appropriate time to help me get through this preordained event, right?
Right. I mean, it's probably that.
Yeah. So it's kind of, I mean, this is where the madness of practicing magic comes in, right? Because you have to sit there and you have to like really process this and try to grapple with it. And you have to, it's really hard when you're trying to understand if you're justifying your practice of magic.
Yeah.
If you're just justifying it, or if, you know, the battle is overcoming, you know, this seed of doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, I mean, like I've definitely dealt with that myself. I've done. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. That is not, but it's nothing. I don't feel like anything unless you specifically ask for someone to die.
I'm not, that. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's not something I think that is in your power. Mm-hmm. Everyone has their own pre-programmed death time, right? Yeah. I mean, we do, biologically or otherwise. So I don't think it's that. I think it's just your attention's brought to it more. Maybe it's more prevalent in your mind than it would be otherwise. Or maybe you wouldn't have heard of it right away or something. You know what I mean? But because you're doing that, and it's important to whatever work you're doing, then you know about it.
Yeah.
It comes to you faster, maybe, you know, that information. But I mean, like, so how, because I think that right now, I mean, I like Wicca, right? Which I do not partake in. Okay. I'm not Wiccan. No hate, but I'm just not, you know.
Yeah.
That's very heavily relying on moon phases and days of, you know, Sabbats and I guess, you know, like and certain kind of ritual work that is revolving around the moon, right? And like Diana and Selene, whatever. that's pretty much, you know, I mean, unless it's changed, like that's what I was understanding it to be based on. Back when I did dabble with that in the very big early 2000s. But like that's, I mean, I've always practiced that. Like I've always been like, okay, like for court, right? Like when I had court case long ago, I was like Thursdays, you know? And I don't remember, was it because Thursdays is Jupiter, right?
Yes.
Is that right? Right. Yeah. So because I wanted something, and then also court is associated with that day, right? So, or like the balancing of scales, whatever. Friday would be about like love, you know, if you want to do something about love or something. Tuesday would be if I'm going to war with somebody or, you know, trying to I don't know what, you know, like get a promotion or something, yeah. beat people out. Like I've always known that. And I've always worked around that. Mm-hmm. Unless there's something pressing that needs to be handled right away. So how yes. do you get around that?
So with astrological magic, the conditions aren't, the advice that I give to people is that the conditions aren't always going to be perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be, you're never going to find the perfect election, but you can get pretty damn close, right? Okay. And then there is this initiation process that I've been doing through the spheres. The closer, the more you work with a planet and the more you learn about it, or with the planetary sphere, more you learn about it. And then the more you learn about the aspects, you get familiar with the spirits in the sphere, right? And so it's easier to call on them when you need them, right? So you've seen me go through an initiation into one of the spheres using a Pikatrix selection, right? But you've also seen me within those initiations do the planetary hour on the day just to get into quick contact, just to say like, hey, what's up? Or, hey, I need help right now. Yeah. That kind of thing. Okay. It doesn't rule it out. If you're an astrological magician, you don't have to only use elections. However, the power of the elections lies in the anticipation leading up to that night. So the things that you're going through waiting for that election, right?
Okay.
Those are the things that are equipping you with what you need to get what you wanted.
Okay.
And that is when the, as the planets are aligning, if you think about it, like they're pulling everything into alignment, into what you're trying to manifest, what you want to happen, right? And then what you do on that night, at least within Arabic magic, is you make a talisman, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of going to capture that moment in time. It's going to capture the entire rite leading up to it.
Okay.
And you have that packed in there. But everything that you've worked, that you've gone through, you've worked for leading up to that election, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I feel like it's kind of one of those things where, because you have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
For the right timing.
Yes.
It's like the, this is going to sound really lame, but it's kind of like the gun laws, you know, about like, hey, 10 day cool off period. Like you can't purchase, you can purchase it, but you can't pick it up for 10 days.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Like, because you're making sure that you're not going to go snap and do some crazy shit. Right.
Might snap waiting for it.
Well, possibly. Right. Yeah.
I've been pretty close.
Yeah. Have you?
Yes.
What? How long ago were you really close to snapping?
Yeah.
I don't want to know. But I mean, yeah, I think it would go, that would drive me nuts. Like, that's why I say, oh my gosh, why are you waiting? I would just do it. But I think there's the discipline that I swear to God you have. The discipline to wait it out and then to, I guess, be present in that time to kind of see what's going on in your life. I think is so if you're doing that, if you're having that confirmation, like proceed, right? Like you find you open up your book and there it is, like, you know, okay, cool. It's not far away.
Yeah.
Say it's 4 days away. Okay. But you want it right now.
Yeah.
Okay. But the 4 days is really close in comparison to what it could be.
Yeah.
So like you got the blessings, quote unquote, to go proceed. Now it's like, here's your waiting period. Like, here's your, like, how much do you want it?
Yeah.
Right. Like, so as you are waiting for it and preparing for it and like being present in that waiting discomfort, I guess, then that's kind of proving your worth so that you'll get what you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, that's why we do ritual, right? I mean, we do ritual to get into the act of to get into embody, like to be in it, right? You know, to be like kind of one with what we want. And all of that preparation, all those ingredients, all the stuff that we have to gather, create, concoct, whatever, none of that really matters, except for it does, because what it's doing is it's making us present in the moment of doing this ritual, right? And it's symbolic of a gesture that we're like putting forth this effort.
Yeah.
Right? So your magic seems like, if you were speaking logically here, like it would seem like it would be more powerful because you're electing to wait. and bide time as instructed mm-hmm. by the stars and put in the effort to get to that point, you know? So yeah. why, so you're proving, it's like you're kind of proving your worth.
It's like the opposite of chaos magic, to where it's like, put it out there and then forget about it. And then it comes right with,
I didn't even know that was what that was.
with this astrological magic here, it's very much, you know, set the intention. And then as you're working up to the election, you are listening and you are watching and you are being in, like, within the whatever you've conjured, mm-hmm. right? You're working with it and you're learning about it and it's getting closer to you. And the interesting thing is the Arabic name for the Picatrix is called the Gayat al-Hakim, which is that Anglicization of that is, or the English translation is the goal of the sage. And this is pretty, so this is pretty interesting. It's like, why is a book on that contains a bunch of spells on, you know, forcing someone's hands in marriage and destroying a city and these suspect things. Why would these be in a book called The Goal of the Sage? And I think that really the reason is because it's not about the spell that you're casting. It's not about the election. It's not about the talisman you're making. It's about what you learn in the process of making them.
I mean, it's always about the journey, not the destination.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, how long have we been saying that cheesy thing?
Yeah.
But it's true, you know?
And that's kind of what I've really unlocked with that astrological magic. Because, I mean, there is the theurgist route to where you, or the mystic route where you can just completely set it up like I am, or high magic. It's like, I'm only doing magic and I'm only doing this because I'm trying to achieve this like higher self or whatever.
Right.
But Picatrix doesn't do that. Picatrix says, you know,
it's like, get dirty.
It says get dirty and you're going to learn some lessons.
Well, I mean, obviously, because that's like, because some of the stuff in that book is ridiculous. I mean, let's be honest. You know, and it's like, what? Although, no, that's a different book. I still, my favorite spell I've ever seen in my life to this day is that one about being invisible. It's just like fucking amazing. That's, throw dirt in their face and run away. But that's, I don't know. I feel like this is why yours is so strong, is because you do the things. Like you're doing, you're being present, which is hard for you to do. It's hard for all of us to do.
Yeah, it's hard for everybody.
Yeah, to be present and like also to see the signs. So like forgetting about, so you're doing the opposite of forgetting about it.
No, I'm looking for it, right?
Yeah.
So it's like it starts off normally, the way that it starts off is I'll cast the chart. And I'll choose the election. And then sometimes it's 3 months out. Sometimes it's a year out. And yes. And
so these are long-term goals that we're talking about here. The spells are going to be like for a long-term goal.
Yeah.
Not something you want right away.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Maybe. You know, I mean, if you're, so like, let's say you're making a talisman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So talisman, once it's made, it's like, then you've got this like magical object that can just exact what you made it for whenever you want, right? So I mean, yeah, it's a long-term goal, but then like once you hit that long-term goal, then it's like that's yours, you know.
Just do if you, so would that only work for you if you made it, like, is it
no so talismans can be transferred to people.
Yeah, 100%. But do they have to be intended to at the time of being created?
I'm not sure. So if you can make talismans for people, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know people do it, but
But so you're asking, let's say, like, you know, nephew finds uncle's magic box of talismans and unleashes the curse or, yeah, or whatever. Yeah,
no, or toddler finds dad's box of talismans.
Box of magic.
Yeah, like something like that, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just hypotheticals.
So I've never been in a Jackie Chan adventure before, so I don't know if that's actually a thing, but...
Wait, is that a movie? That, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a cartoon, but...
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I could see that. That would be a nightmare. Oh, my God. Yeah. So if it's not intended... So how does that work?
What do you mean?
How do you make a talisman? Mm-hmm. If you're making it for you, if you're making it for you without the intention of giving it to somebody else, yeah, and somebody else comes upon it...
Yeah. Well, so they...
Then what?
They do have to be maintained, right?
Well, but I don't like, know what look, that, how does that mean? How's that look?
Well, so Rufus Opus actually has a lot of tech. It's in his Seven Spheres book. He has like talisman maintenance. And then the way that I normally use the talismans or maintain the talismans is I perform an action while wearing it that is one of the actions or behaviors that I did as I was developing it.
Okay.
Right? So for example, like when I was making my last Mars talisman, I was lifting a lot, right? So yeah, I'll wear that one to kind of recharge it, do a little prayer, and I'll go and I'll spend some time in the gym to kind of like exacerbate.
So it's a reinforcement that. Okay. All right, that makes sense. Yeah. So yeah, because you know you always see these movies or tales about like the monkey's paw or some shit.
Yeah.
Like.
But you do want, so it is a magical item. And so you do want to, you know, give it a home, give it a place. Don't want people profane touching it or really seeing it.
Profane? What do you mean? What's a profane person?
No, just...
Not a believer in magic?
Just...
Like someone I wouldn't want touching my altar? Not,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which I don't want anyone touching my altar, but yeah. You're fine. You and kids are fine. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Someone that's going to taint it with their weird...
Yeah.
Vibes.
Uh-huh. Basically.
Basically everybody.
Basically everybody. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So it's like you're precious. Give me that. Uh-huh. Like, I can just see that. I was like,
don't touch the talisman. Yeah. It's like, what are you saying?
The what?
You are a crazy person.
You don't even know the half
of
it. Yeah. That's hilarious. I mean, I've seen your I don't always know what you're doing.
You don't?
No, I don't. I have no clue. I don't. It's not my business.
Yeah.
But I see that you relate that it's working. So, and you definitely, like, I do know that you have a different air about you than you had that when you were wearing that one talisman, for sure.
Which one?
I don't know which one it was. You just are like, I put it back on, and then it was like, you're just like, oh, this yeah, different person. It's not like crazy different, but like, yeah, just like way, like a different, like exalted version in of some characteristics of you. Like it uh-huh, was interesting. I was like, oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. I wish I could tell you what that one's for.
I don't know what it's for, but I feel like
I just love. Yeah.
I just, it's, you've got like this different charisma going on. I don't know uh-huh, what it is. That right? It's like, is that accurate? Is that what it's for? Oh maybe, my God. Okay. So that's what I know. I'm dying. Okay. I'm gonna let it go. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just, that's crazy. That's yeah, crazy. So if people want to get into it, like, if people want to get into this, what would be your go-to book for beginner?
Go-to book beginner for astrological magic is the Peak of Tricks. Go get your hands on it. I think getting into the deeper stuff is when you start getting into the Arabic tomes, right?
Okay.
So Peak of Tricks, definitely. And the thing is, it's very overwhelming. Just find a spell that you want to do and then do it, you know? And after you do the first one, then all of a sudden it's going to start making sense. But
I mean, but some of them have ingredients you can't get.
Yeah. So that's really hard. I mean,
or like, you know, doing things that are illegal yeah, nowadays.
There's a lot of animal sacrifice in that book.
Yeah, it's literal, right?
Yes.
It's not like a metaphor. Okay. So
it's thought that a lot of the spells emerged out of Iraq, like around that territory, that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so like when they're telling you to like walk a cow around a tree three times and then slit its throat, they mean to do that.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah. So you don't want to maybe do those. Like, I mean, you know, you don't want to get in trouble.
You can figure out ways to get around it. And the thing is, and one of the things, that we've personally been advised by some of the spirits within this book.
Oh yeah.
Is pay attention to details. But one of the things that I can say from personal experience working with astrological magic is just like, do the best that you can. Right.
Right.
Do the best that you can. But, like if you're not going to do something, you're not going to sacrifice, like if you don't want to sacrifice a dove, what does the dove symbolize? Right. Sacrifice that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. A lot of people are going to say absolutely not.
Yeah.
Most people are going to say absolutely not.
I'm not saying, you know,
we're not condoning it. We're just saying,
But I'm also not.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the other thing too is if it requires blood, right? How can we do that? You can go to the butcher and get blood.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, so one of the things that I think is you want to be very careful when you're getting magical materials is who's handling your magical materials. Like maybe go to a halal butcher.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Like kosher. Like whatever.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Because
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things. If somebody's making you something that you're going to use in magic or giving you something that you're going to use in magic and it's being handled by people that are just like completely disrespectful.
Right. It's, yeah, true.
Yeah. True. You're basically you're offering up trash to the spirits, right?
So trash. Here you go. So I think of you guys.
I know. I'm saying this, and I just bought Jupiter, the cheapest rum I could find. You know,
like, rum. Yeah. Oh, come on. Like, yeah. No, I'm sure there's cheaper rum out there.
I felt bad. Oh, it was like, God. Yeah. The next day, I was like, man, dude.
Oh my gosh, you could have just taken some from. I have so much rum in my house.
Yeah.
For this reason. And pina coladas, but occasionally pina colada. But no, because all spirits love rum. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah,
but they do. There was one time that I really can't believe this happened because it shouldn't have, because it evaporates over time, obviously. Okay, because it's alcohol. But there was one time when I put out some rum, and I did my thing, and like an hour later, it was gone. I had filled it up like a quarter of the way and it was just the bottom. And I was like, Lucy, did you touch this? She's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Nope. I was really dumbfounded. I had no idea what to think about that because I was like, did I even remember? Did I do this? Like, I wasn't even sure, but no, I did. I went and checked in because the bottle was new and I'd opened it for that purpose and it was open. So I was like, cool, dude. So I do believe that they do love that. Mm-hmm. And all cultures, any type, it doesn't matter. But so the Picatrix and then, but if you want to get into astrology, how do you cast a chart?
Well, there's a lot of great websites online.
Okay. Yeah.
I like to use Cafe Astrology.
Cafe Astrology.
Yeah. That's the one. Then there's Astrology Today. That's really, really useful. So one of the things that I do, and people say don't do magic just to do magic, but sometimes what? I do.
Okay. Yeah, just to see if it works.
Well, yeah. Sometimes I just know I'm supposed to do something. So Astrology Today, you can get the planets that are there, like, and it's this kind of like lifetime. How the planets are moving, and it's a geocentric model. So you can see, like, let's say it's night and you're going to do a ritual or whatever, and you want to do a ritual that is in tune with where the planets are. Astrology Today is really good for that. And you can look, see where the aspects are, and then go over to Cafe Astrology, cast a chart, that kind of thing. But like when I'm casting charts to do a spell, I start with, you know, the spell that I'm going to use, and I write down all the aspects, right? Sometimes it's really easy. Sometimes it's like the moon has to be in this face. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's, you know, Jupiter has to be squared with Venus and it cannot be within 12 degrees of Saturn. And I write down all these rules, right? And then I'll have to go and I'll have to type in and keep casting charts to keep casting charts in order to find the right time. Okay. And so that's where the Astrology Today website really helps out, because you can see how the planets are going to move. I think like Saturn moves something like 0.3 degrees every single day, but then the moon moves something like 12 degrees every single day or something. The more you do this, you'll be able to get better at predicting like when the planets are going to be where you want them to. Yeah.
Not for me. Like, that's so hard. Like, that's so much stuff. But
once I find that perfect chart, then I write it down in my grimoire, mm-hmm. and then I'll put like a little note. I'll set it like with the page number of the spell, and then I'll be like, okay, like this is the date, this is the time that's going to do, and then I'll write down the aspects, why those aspects are important, and then that's going to sit in my grimoire, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to start collecting the materials slowly over the course of time.
Do you find that like the materials? So I've noticed something mm-hmm. when I do this kind of magic where I have to prepare, like seriously prepare, mm-hmm. which is not often because I don't like to wait that much. But there are occasions where that's been something I've done. I've noticed some things where like I come across some ingredient I need and it's not a common one or something. It calls for something and I've never heard of it or whatever. And I have mm-hmm. no idea where to get it. But as I approach that date, mm-hmm. it falls into my lap somehow, like random as hell, like super random. Like, you know, I'm out shopping at the mall, like regular mall or something. And there's like a kiosk mm-hmm. and they have like one little thing and it's that exact thing that I need. And I'm like, what? Just random. Like, it shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. You know, like that happens a lot. Has that happened to you when you're doing this stuff where you just come across the things that you need at some point?
So I'm always asking for guidance, at all times. Right. Mm-hmm. And so everything that I need in order to pull off the big election, like it happens within that time because I'm constantly asking for guidance. Help me in this operation. So it's like, once I have the election set, right, I don't wait to contact whether it's a spirit or a planet, I don't wait until that night in order to contact it. I immediately start working with it.
Oh.
Like, you can start with a prayer. And that's it. You cast a chart and then you pray and introduce yourself or say thank you or that kind of thing. Mm. And then let's say you move into the planetary day and the planetary hour, and then you'll do like a conjuration or summoning and say, introduce yourself again. Maybe do an offering. And over the course waiting for that election, you keep working with this energy and working with the spirit. And then that gate opens the night of the election where everything just pummels through, right?
Right. Okay. So you do. So you're not. Okay. So I think I didn't understand that part. Like, you are not waiting to ask for the thing that you want. You're contacting them already about it. Saying I'm preparing to do this thing.
No. So the talisman itself is for a specific thing. That petition, the talisman, powering the talisman that happens on the night of the election.
Okay.
That happens on the night of the election. Mm-hmm. Everything leading up to that is more introductory, you know, prayer, invocation, you know, performing the proper actions, maybe developing some kind of ascetic action, right? Uh-huh. So it's like I was in the gym 2 hours a day when I was doing my last Mars talisman, right?
Sure.
So that was a part of the process. But I'm also practicing asceticism there. I'm taking cold showers during that time. I'm doing all these different things while I'm also contacting Mars frequently, and I'm conjuring his spirits.
So like, you're letting him know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm letting him know, like, hey, I'm entering your sphere. I'm entering your sphere. I want to get to know you. Please offer me guidance.
Come work through me. So you're asking for that.
Like, when it gets to the night of the election, then the talisman is crafted, and then I petition. I want this talisman to do this.
Okay. Yeah. And then like, because you're asking that and it's like probably already and in
I've
you.
And I've spent.
And it's like that.
This prolonged period of time just digging so around and like, trying to become Mars. And Mars was like, you're a cool guy. I love you.
Yes, he definitely was like that.
Yeah.
He's like, this guy's dope.
Yeah.
So I'm serious. I'm serious. Yeah, that's okay. That makes much more sense. I was like, damn, that is some hardcore discipline. And I know. So then I do those. I do that too.
Yeah.
Not as often as you, but definitely have. So there's. So what would you say to do first? Would you say to get into astrology first or to do
I think you,
astrological magic? What's more important here?
I think you learn as you go. I mean.
There's no right or wrong.
Yeah, like you'll learn the aspects as you're having to cast elections, you know, like you'll see them and you get to see them in live action. You know, you get to see the results of those aspects instead of just reading it in a book. Like, you know, this is why Jupiter and Saturn don't get along or whatever. You get to make that mistake. And I'm just kidding.
No, it's good. Like that's part of
they actually growing do get, is they doing. Actually do get along, Jupiter and Saturn, but.
I love that Pink Floyd song.
I think all you really need to know to get started with astrological magic is the seven classical planets.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Right. And then as you go, you'll start learning the signs and then the aspects and then the houses, you know? So it's like anything else, you know, like when you start tarot, you don't know what all the cards mean, but you just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and then you slowly learn through experience and exposure and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. As you were saying that earlier, I was sitting here going, he's right.
Yeah.
He's right. It is like that, because at first you like start off with the major arcana, right? And you learn that whole thing from 0 to 22, and then you learn the minors and like what those all symbol. Yeah. It's all like that. Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm really stoked to learn this stuff, because I've been wondering about this for a long time, but didn't want to pester you with a bunch of questions all the time about it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Try not to be annoying.
Yeah. It's like not, it's not that common. This kind of magic. And, I love it. I think it's out of all the magic I've dabbled in, you know, this is the one that feels like home.
Well, I believe that it probably, I feel like that you feel that way for a reason, especially after I see this guy's face on your face every time you talk about it. It's the same. It's like the same person and then a different guy. It's weird. I swear to God, you were definitely from that area of the world at some point, like telling you. And then just on this Thursday.
Yes.
We did some. Is that
oh, you did, though.
But you helped.
I wasn't there. Yeah. I just wrote on the back of your
petition. Right. But I did it on Thursday.
And you succeeded.
I did.
Yes.
The next day.
Did you do it on my altar?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
I did not.
You did it on the other table,
I didn't
table,
want to mess
right?
up your, what you're doing. So I did it over there.
Yeah. So my altar set up for Jupiter right now. Mm-hmm. And you could have done that.
I told you I wasn't gonna, because I didn't want to like mix energies, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
And, but it worked right away.
It did.
Like, at 7 a.m. the next morning, I got that. That's almost like I asked you to write that before you left at the same time. Like basically when I wrote that down, it's the same time it happened within 24 hours.
Oh,
literally.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And that one I didn't forget about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
That one I didn't walk away from not thinking about it. You know what I mean? I was thinking about it constantly. What am I gonna find out? And then I got it. So that worked really fast. That was interesting. I'm excited about it. But I've learned so much from you right now, because I didn't know most of this stuff.
Yeah, well, I think when you approach astrological magic, it's very confusing, because there's not a lot of modern material on this brand of astrological magic. Now, there is planetary magic, and planetary magic is what most like modern practitioners practice, and that's the days, angels, hours, that kind of thing.
Wait, what? Stop. Hang on. So yeah. Astrological magic and planetary magic are different?
Yes.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. So, when we, so I mean, like, planetary magic is astrological magic, but astrological magic, like, an astrological magician or an astral magician is practicing specifically what I practice.
Okay.
Where you're casting charts and you're dealing with aspects, houses, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? And okay. that's how you're planning the magic. Planetary magic is very much like the Agrippa Descendant or Golden Dawn kind of, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, here's the hour, the day, like that kind of stuff. And so they do get confused sometimes. So sometimes, like, you, like, as an astrological magician, I can talk to a planetary magician. We could talk about these same ideas, I guess, or the same experiences within the spheres, but how we approach them is completely different. And the spirits are highly deviant too, right? So planetary magicians deal with a lot of Christianized, like, you know, dealing with their archangels and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You've seen
the things in the sky allegedly right now.
Yeah. You've seen the names of the spirits that I deal with, and they are like, you'd be hard pressed to find them anywhere other than in those tomes, right?
Yeah. So, good luck pronouncing them properly.
Yeah. So they're different. And I'm actually of the belief that they're generated through casting astrological charts, right?
What do you mean?
Like, if you represented, like if you take a snapshot of a night, right, mm-hmm. where the planets are,
mm-hmm.
and they're represented by different letters, and you put them together, then maybe you could get these spirits.
Oh,
names.
My gosh. Yeah. That just gave me an idea. Okay, cool. Yeah. Gotta write that down. that I bet you're right. That's interesting.
That's just a hunch I have.
I bet you're right. Yeah. I bet we're gonna try it after this. I'm gonna try it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have coordinates.
You got coordinates
that we can use. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm gonna check it out. I bet you're right. If you're right,
probably
there's no fucking way you can say you're not psychic.
I swear. Well, I don't think it's a psychic thing. It's like,
oh my God.
Dude. I guess one of the things though is like, I think what you could take from that, this, even if you're not an astrological magician, is that, you know, find a tome and stick with it, even if it doesn't make sense. Because the Pika tricks that I use is not the Pika tricks that people see when they first open the book, right?
Okay.
There's been a lot of stuff unlocked in that book through practicing it consistently.
Yeah.
Stuff that's not in there, but in between the lines. Right.
That's like all occult stuff, right?
Yeah. And it's, you know,
it's the spaces between the things that are important. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was it, who said that? Miles Davis?
I just did. I don't know.
Or there's like a funk musician. He was like, funk isn't about the notes you play, it's about the space in between.
Oh, man, yeah. I don't know. Damn it. Yeah. I thought I was being clever. Okay, maybe that's why, because I heard it somewhere else. That's because that's where I see the code at, you know, is between things.
Yeah.
So. What?
The code.
I'm going to ask, like, anyone else see the code? Like, the fucking symbols, letters, kind of, they look like Hebrew. Ish, hieroglyphics, ish, rune, ish, like kind of, but not any of those things. And it's everywhere in between the space, in the spaces between things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like running like a ticker in the back.
Yeah.
I've seen it my whole life.
Mm.
Not every day, all day or anything like that, but like occasionally under the right circumstances and not on substances. I'm not talking about that. I can see it without that. But other people can see it with the laser, I guess now, right? Yeah. Like the refracted light laser. But I want to know. But that's what I was talking about. The spaces between things. It's the code. So if you see that, let me know. Because, because if you know what I'm talking about, you know. If you know, you know. I just wonder what the fuck that is. But yeah, I learned so much right now about this stuff. And I want to do, you said the spirits. It will be a spirit based on, if you took a snapshot of right now, this time today. then, or like say a big event happens, right? Mm-hmm. Like something happens in your life that's really good or really bad. Mm-hmm. You could take the time, approximate time that that happened, look at the chart of the stars at that point, and then come up with the name of a spirit that was responsible for that shit.
So, yeah.
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 We're going to try that. Mm-hmm. we're going to test this out because I love this. This is interesting. Yeah. New experiment unlocked.
New experiment. I know.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, I think we are at an hour and a half right now. So
just about.
Yep. I'm going to call it.
Yep.
It's been nice talking with you about astrological magic.
I'm very happy to have learned so much.
I'm not going to say we're going to do any.
Don't say what we're doing next week
because
we don't do it.
Keep not doing it.
Yeah.
So
we don't know. It's a surprise.
It's a surprise. Yeah.
It'll always be a surprise.
We're kind of doing it on the fly right now, but.
But soon we're gonna have like a whole new studio situation and everything.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. Dr. Stone here conjured up a new space for us. Mm-hmm. So.
No, you helped. I did. You're a part of it too. Yeah, new space with it's gonna be amazing. Yeah. So. It'll be much more lit or something. Yeah. I don't know. I won't be so maybe blue. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I definitely need more lights.
Yeah, we need more lights and better. Yeah, just, you know. But yeah, so that's soon. But in the meantime, it'll be a surprise, whatever we talk about. And you'll be happy to hear about it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. And speaking of though, if anybody would like any topic specifically covered, please feel free to go ahead, leave suggestions on the YouTube channel. We'd love to take your suggestions. Mm-hmm. If you have any ideas for guests, we are planning on getting some more guests on here soon. We just haven't reached out because we're dealing with a lot of stuff right now. But
yeah, we've been doing a lot. And then the holidays and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah. But. That's the goal coming up, and I'm going to be, yeah. So if you have anybody, or if you think you have something to share that's worthwhile, let us know. Maybe you can be on.
Come on Discourse. Yeah. Like, let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Give us the rundown on what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, elucidate us into your own magical practices that we may not be familiar with. That would be great. Yeah, definitely. So seriously, leave that in the comment on it or whatever and let us know. And we'll get back to you.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Stone.
Thank you, Mom.
You've been listening to Discourse, where we venture into the mysteries of esotericism, the occult, and the depths of spiritual exploration. I am Abimon the Great, joined as always by Dr. Anna Stone, bringing the insights of both practitioner and scholar to guide your journey. Remember, the path of wisdom is illuminated by both knowledge and experience, and each step brings new discoveries. Until next time, continue your exploration and stay attuned to the unseen.